Okay.
Thank you guys for praying. Help us.
Do too, want to announce too, you know, I'll be gone for, don't know, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. But I encourage you to keep your missions giving. Make sure we keep it going and support the guys that's coming to teach. And, we've made a commitment. I don't know. I don't, like I said, I don't keep up with time that much, but we've had some missionary, Brother Rick. I think we took him on first, and then we've supported the missionaries. And God's provided that. You guys have met that need many times over, and I appreciate it so much. But we're going to go back here to Genesis, and we're going to look at Genesis 3:14. And you pray for us. I don't even like traffic in a car, let alone pulling the camper. So that's going to be a new experience for me. But I was telling my wife this morning, I said, you know, it's no more unsure than when we loaded up an old 62 Ford and went to New Mexico and had everything in this world in it that we owned. Stereo and TV and everything in the back seat. And we went out there when I was in the Army. I said, maybe we can get back through there again. See some of those places, but you pray for us and for our safety. But Genesis 3:14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. We're looking today at product of sin, what sin brings here, and when Adam and Eve sinned, and what effect it had on everyone. Not just, that's the way sin is, and the effect it had on them and all over. And that does it even in. I want you to look at Isaiah 65:25. I'm going to read a lot of scripture, like try to all the time, but you don't have to turn to all of them with me if you don't want to. But Isaiah 65:25, we'll start reading verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And this is about the millennial. And you see that curse is going on. It's on Satan. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. When God says something, it sticks, and it's all the way through. And that curse on him goes all the way to the end. Then in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He has seed, doesn't he? What Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, you are your father, the devil. All right, now let's look at the sevenfold results on Adam. And the first one is in Genesis 3:7. But you know, every one of these things we're going to mention today, I want to do a cross-reference on. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took care of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. It's just amazing. It amazes. This book, from beginning to end, that's all it's about. It's him. he's the one. And in 3:7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The first thing was shame, Genesis 3:7. And I'm, like I say, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures here. And you don't have to remember. Psalm 69:7, verse 7. I'll try to get these places as quick as I can. Psalm 69:7. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. This is David speaking to the prophet. He's prophesying of Christ and on the cross. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Everything we see here, even that he bore our shame.
that sin is a shame. And you see, that's one thing the devil's trying to do. With that newfound knowledge, you see, that Adam had, he gained that knowledge, didn't he? Mama, he's smart enough already to name the animals. But what's he do with that newfound shame? He comes up with a way to cover his nakedness, and it didn't work. His fig leaves did not work. It took God's sacrifice for him. Then I want you to look in Hebrews 12, 2. And we're all familiar with these scriptures, but we're going to read them today. We're just going to go through them because I want us to see that the comparison of what he's done. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand, the throne of God. See, he's bore our shame. All right, and let's look at another place here in Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked. That's what fear needs to come back with sin. I remember as a child when doing wrong. And a lot of people was like me. There was some fear in sin. Even though I'd do it, I'd still there'd be a fear there. Why? Conscience. Because when you get that conscience seared, and that's what sin does. Sin, when it's finished, brings death. And sin sears that conscience to where you're not aware of it much anymore. Now, Hebrews 5:7. We see the antidote here. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He took our shame. He took our reproach. He took our fear. We don't have to fear. We don't. We'll see some more of this. Now look at discord. Genesis 3:12. How could he take our discord? He did. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Right there was probably their first argument. Probably. Right there, he blamed it on her. And that's the nature of sin now. We want to blame everything, man's sin, on everything that's around him. When the Bible says there's no temptation taken, you know, it's not common man. God will provide a way out of it. Let's look at Isaiah 53:3, see what Jesus did about that. Like I said, if you don't want to turn to all these, that's fine. There's a bunch of them we need to hit today. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What is a report, reporter, newsman? Gospel, good news. That report there, that's news. Who's going to believe it? Isaiah said. What's this? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He bore the discord of it.
We can't imagine what all was on the Lord at Calvary. My mind can't comprehend it. You know, like I've said many times in this class, when we look at Calvary, we see, I'll just speak the way I used to look at Calvary, okay? We just see our Lord, He's hanging there, He's been crucified. Terrible. He's been beaten. Terrible. But that's not even the start of it. That's not even the beginning of it. He's bore our sorrow. He's bore our grief. Adam and Eve is going to be separated from God. He was separated from God, made a curse. He's bore that curse. And you know, when I look at this, and I think there's people who's going to stand out before God, and they're going to say, "Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that?" What can we stand before God and say that we have done that'll even hold merit? Nothing. All we can say is, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." I was looking at a lesson this week on prayer. And we'll talk about maybe some when I get back. And the longest prayer over there that Solomon prayed in the Bible. And then the short prayer that Peter prayed when he stepped out on that water. "God save me." Huh? One has no more essence than the other one. God heard the long prayer and He heard the short prayer. Some long prayers they don't hear. Like the Pharisee that prayed. And the man that was a publican fell on his face and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," and went away justified. Prayer, God knows our hearts. Now, He asked four questions here in Genesis. He wants answers. He knows the answers. But He wants us to answer. So I'm not cutting prayer short. When we pray, make supplication, intercession, giving of thanks. He wants to hear it. He'll ask us some questions. If we confess our sins, He knows our sins, but He wants us to confess them. But you know, in this series of questions He asked, and I've got four marked, He didn't ask Satan a question in this series here. He's had some dealings with him before. He knows what he's about. And what he's doing. So you see, the first thing he was shame, but he bore our shame. And fear, he took our fear. Discord. And then Isaiah 53:3, he bore our discord even. The argument that we have, the mess of sin that we have that can't get along with each other, that was placed on him at Calvary. He bore our discord. And in top of all that, he bore our sin. Was separate from God. Let me just keep going. There's discord. Look at death. Romans 5:7-8. When through this, Adam, he received spiritual death immediately. Physical death came. But Romans 5:7-8 says, "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see there? Every curse, every judgment, everything that was put on man in the beginning of this book, God paid for it at the end of this book. Our debt has been paid. We've been redeemed. How can people, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. How can people get works out of this book when you read it? How can you do that? God expects us to do things. But for your salvation, man, He's paid the bill. It's paid. Right, we'll go on. I'll cover some more on that in a minute. But we look at physical death in Genesis 5:5. That's where Adam died. Not where he died, but all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. That death came. And it came because of that. All right? And in the, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:54. Jesus even paid for that, didn't he? As I run these up last week, or last couple of weeks, and looking at them and seeing over here in Genesis where he paid, where he put that curse, and over here where he is took care of, right at the end. 1 Corinthians 15:54. But let's just start reading in 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but it shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, how incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He's took care of every one of those things. Now, I never go through these scriptures without saying this. If you mark your Bible, you ought to mark two words in verse 54. When and then. You should underline those words. Because we hear, maybe that's just me saying this, whatever. But I hear so many times people will say, well, old bumblebee and his stinger's been pulled out. How many times have I said that in this class? But we can sit back and say that till it hits our house. And, brother, it's got a sting when it hits. When you carry one of them children. My dad told me, he says, you know, when I buried my oldest brother, he was still alive. And he said, I never thought I'd have to go through this to bury my son. It was hard on him. And he buried his wife. It was hard on him. But you look at that when and then. He's going to take care of it. In the beginning, he started, but over in Revelation, he's going to cast death and hell into the lake of fire. And there'll be no more tears. Amen. He's taking what he hasn't took care of, he's going to take care of. He's took care of the physical death here and there in that. And in the turn to Psalms 90:10. I read this, I remember seeing this years ago, and as I was studying, I thought, man, what verses? Verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. I don't know. May 27th. Just like we're sitting over there. Usually I forget the anniversaries, but my wife looked at me and said, you know, tomorrow's our anniversary. We hadn't even thought about it. 47 years. Man, that's like a tale that's been told. Time goes. I mean, it's just look back on it, just like yesterday. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. How many of you in here are 70? You reached your limit. God's give you a blessing
And every day you get after that is a blessing from our Lord, isn't it? And I would say that I'm pushing that. I'm pushing that. Watch this. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, if they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. That come from Mr. Adam and Eve, Miss Eve over there. That curse. But our Lord and Savior took care of it there in 1 Corinthians 15. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, the body alone. But brother, he's already taken care of that. Ain't nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Now we're going to hit the judgment seat. I got some things to fear there, I'm sure. But I don't fear that old death and that old devil. He's done taken care of. Not totally yet, but it's going to happen just as well as 50% or 60% of these things we're reading this morning, God's already took care of at Calvary. He took care of the other part in his resurrection. And we'll get the benefit of it in our resurrection or the rapture. So we got the death, and in Psalms 90, it's that's really encouraging, isn't it? But we just closer home. That's all. As old brother Joe Pittman told my mama, and died 2 weeks later. My mother used to sing a lot in churches, and brother Joe Pittman is one of my favorite preachers in the world. He was in them mountains, going through them mountains preaching. I remember I'd go to Grace Creek Baptist Church on Sunday morning with my family. My dad would take us, and I'd hear him preach. Then on Monday, I'd see his car coming out the old gravel road and heading out to my grandmother's house. And I'd throw some dust under my feet and go out there, and I'd hear him preach the same message that he preached Sunday morning, standing in the living room and preach that same message to my grandmother and grandfather who were shut in. Then I'd see his old car go up a road above my house that wouldn't even hardly hold a car. And get up there and preach to Hunt and Jane McKinney the same message you preach Sunday morning in church. That's a man of God. We get our men of God, sometimes I do, and I'm not saying this to you, but we get our men of God confused. Very few people probably ever knew he did that. But boy, it sure touched me. I'd go listen to it again. Ride with him a couple times after that. Well, let me move on here. Total separation. Adam and Eve was driven out of the garden. And what was shut off from them? The tree of life in the center of the garden. They were shut out from it. And he put a sword, an angel with a flaming sword there to protect the tree of life. And as I said last week, if Adam hadn't ate, he'd have been separated from Eve, wouldn't he? And in Luke 16, did you see the separation there? There was a great gulf that separated the rich man and Lazarus. There would have been a gulf between them, and that gulf was sin that wasn't taken care of. Now, you may see that different, but that's just in my thoughts there. I see that if he had not have partaken, then she would have been driven out. Because it says in 1 Timothy that she was in a transgression. He wasn't. The Bible says that. And we don't have time to read it this morning, but that's what it says. But his love for her, he took it. Yeah. That's what the Bible says, yeah. Adam, Eve being deceived. He took it knowing that penalty.
But you know what? He's the first Adam. Second Adam took it knowing too. And he took it for us, knowing the separation from God. As Jonah was in the belly of that whale and went down, hell compassed him about. Our Lord did the same thing. As he cried in that garden and prayed, and his sweat became as great drops of blood just coming from the agony. I've showed you before in this class how when he was walking among the people, and it wasn't time for him to go to Calvary, he just disappeared from them, didn't he? There wasn't a thing they could do about it. But he gave himself willingly for us and become separate from God. But that's the agony that he starts to experience in John chapter 12. And this earth suffered with it too. This earth suffered with Adam. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But that total separation. And you see that's still going, folks. The person that doesn't get reached by the gospel is going to be totally separated from God. Totally. We could read a lot of scriptures to prove, but we're going to go on. Look at Genesis 3:16. And he took this too. He took it all. No man's ever suffered like this man suffered. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Have we seen anything this morning that he didn't bear? People would read the front of this book and say, what a cruel God would drive them away from eternal life over one mistake. But what a gracious God who would bear all their iniquities, bear all their shame, bear all their sorrow. That's not a cruel, that's a merciful God there that would bear all their grief. Any sting of death, anything, we couldn't experience more than his death at Calvary. Why? Because he died covered with sin, separate from the Father. And we're going to stand before him and think, works? I've done something, God, to get there? I've kept the faith? Well, we're going to keep the faith, the body of doctrine, but his faith is a gift. We got this one to keep. Let me move on. Weariness of labor. Could you imagine being able to? There's certain things that I love to do. I mean, David probably has something deep in him to really love in the cabinet shop, building a nice set of cabinets, working with them. I love to garden. I don't even mind hoeing. But could you imagine doing something you love to do and never getting tired? wouldn't even have any weeds there, would you? But there was a curse on this earth, and I want us to look at that. Weariness of labor, Genesis 3:17. He took care of that too.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. You see what he did? You see that? He didn't say that eat the fruit first. He said, second, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Watch. For in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. I mean, that's a God who's sick of sin. When he'll curse the ground from which a man's taken because of sin, my goodness, don't think you're going to get away with it without the blood applied. It's not going to happen. Let me read. Find out where I'm at here. Lost my place. But he's in John. They planted a crown of thorns, didn't they? I didn't notice this. I mean, a lot of people. I'm like I told you before, many times. I'm slow, but if I ever get it, I got it. But I'm slow. But you know, I'd go through them crown of thorns before. And I'd looked at that until a few years ago, and I'd just seen something just to make fun of Jesus with, you know. Well, you got a crown, we'll give you a crown. And they put them thorns on his head. No, sir, he's bearing the curse of this earth, those thorns. Them thorns was placed on his head and pounded into his head, and the blood run down his face. And you know what's that say? He's shedding his blood for this earth. Look at Romans chapter 8. He cursed that ground. Can you put your finger here in Genesis 3 again? And I want us to see two scriptures before we read this. In the end part of chapter, verse 17, 3:17, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Why? Look in verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. He just said, just because you made out of dirt, I'm going to curse the dirt. But he paid the debt. When we got redeemed, where did this lesson, all these lessons come from here? When we looked at the word redeemer, what have we been redeemed from? He's going to redeem this earth. Now, we're talking about suffering. We're talking about shame. We're talking about separation. We were separated from God. He built the bridge that brought us back to God. Propitiation. God would only accept one payment, and that was his son. He's our propitiation for sin. There's not a whipping that he put on man that he did not take on his back. Not one. Verse 18 of Romans 8. For I reckon. And I love that word, reckon. That's a mountain word. Hey, you talk to a man about doing something up in the mountains years ago, he'd say, well, I reckon. You know what? He's stopped, he's thought about it, and he's considered it. And he reckons he'll do it. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This earth is groaning. It's waiting to be redeemed. And he bore the curse on it with the thorns on his head. That's what that represents. He bore that curse on this earth. And he's going to redeem it. And he'll purge it with fire, won't he? I tell you. Matthew 16, and we'll end. I tell you, you can't find a judgment that God placed on man that he didn't bear at Calvary. He bore our sin, he bore our grief, he bore our sorrows, he bore our shame. That's why when we stand before God, he sees the Son and what he's done. He's our advocate. He's our daysman. I love that in Job. Job chapter 9. Job said, I have no daysman that he could put his hand on me and his hand on God and reconcile us. But we do. We have that daysman that reconciled us back to God. We're friends of God. We are. We become his children. Children of God. Matthew 16, verse 18. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But you know what? Jesus has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Death, hell, and the grave. As I said last week, I'm glad he's got the keys and I don't. If I didn't like you, I might throw you in. Or you might throw me in. But he's got the keys. He said, what's the key? That's the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Without the way, you can't go. Without the truth, you can't know. And without the life, you can't grow. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. From beginning of this book to the end of this book is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's about him. I believe on every page. And it's about him. It's not about us. And there's so many other things I wanted to hit here. I wanted to end it, but I don't have time in Romans chapter 10. How beautiful are the feet of those. We started over there in Isaiah with that report. Who is going to believe this news? But what does it say over here in Romans 10? How beautiful are the feet of those who come bringing that news. Amen. Lord, thank you for this.